Good evening. It's always wonderful to see you people. I always enjoy this. And I have wonderful news for you. I have good news for you. You truly are the light of the world. You've heard the master teacher Jesus say, he was the light of the world. I'm here to tell you that each and every one of us is also the light of the world. Anything that Jesus did, anything that any of the masters came to this plane of action, somebody in the kitchen, Dinah. Anything that the master teachers did, you can do. None of the master teachers ever came to this plane of action to make themselves special or to set themselves apart from anybody. They came to show you what can be done. Who to show that you could do the same thing. It's when other things came into play, like religion and so forth, who left that out and decided, we'll tell you what's good and bad. So you have to remember that you are the light of the world. Now, what do we mean by that? If you want this world to change, the world we're living in, you are the one who has to do that. And you do that with your thinking. The Buddha said, your thoughts are creating the world. And your thoughts are creating the world at every moment. So when we learn to think and change our thoughts, we can change the world around us. We can give up the idea that there always has to be war, that there always has to be sickness and disease. War, sickness and disease, lack and limitation of any type, is never in the mind of God. That would be an impossibility. If you're suffering from any of those things, it's because it's in your mind. And you can change your mind at any time. And you can do what we call moving up in consciousness. You can move up to this God consciousness through sitting still, by meditating, or just knowing that you're moving your thoughts forward. What we do usually is we never listen to what we're saying. We never pay attention to our thoughts. And we get involved in our thoughts. And we think that our thoughts are real. I am here to tell you, you are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are things. That's absolutely true. But you are not your thoughts any more than you are your emotions, any more than you are your beliefs, your viewpoints. That is not you at all. What you are is the light of the world. What you are is connected to this whole thing that we call God or the universe. And that's the most important thing in this teaching. If you want to manifest anything, you have to realize that you're connected with the thing itself. You have to know that you're connected with the universe and this thing called God. You can never think that you are outside of that in any way. And you can never think that God shows favorites. God does not show favorites. When I was a child, we used to sing, what God can do for others, God can do for me. And that is absolutely true. So the master teachers and the people that came to this plane of action to teach and to show, they were the light of the world. They were showing you a different way to go through life so that your light absolutely shines. And each and every one of us has that light in us. Some of them are turned down very dim, but they never extinguish themselves. You could think of it as the eternal flame. In fact, I think it was Marcus Aurelius, one of the Caesars, who discovered that way back when, that there was a fire within, and that everyone had that fire within, and that everyone was connected. You see, this whole thing of new thought, this whole idea that we're talking about, is not new at all. It's not new at all. It's been around thousands and thousands of years. And when you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you see it everywhere. And that's all we're trying to do, as we're trying to wake up and see this wonderful world that we live in, and not buy in to all the pain and the lack and the limitation, and not buy in to all the cruelty that we see. We are inundated constantly by news, and people love to talk about disasters. But that is not all that's happening in the world. Only 5% of the world is into lack and limitation. Is in to, I shouldn't say, let me repeat that. What you are receiving, which you think is the 100% of what the world is doing with the wars, the fighting, the killings and all, is only 5% of what's going on. You see. We never hear that somebody was born. Very rarely. But we immediately hear when they die. You see. We always seem to like that side of the coin instead of taking the other side of the coin and realizing that you are the light of the world, and that you can turn this flame of yours up, and you can attract people to you just by letting your light shine. You don't have to say a thing, you know. If you want to bring peace into a room, enter the room with peace and sit there in peace, and with all the chaos that's going on, you can produce peace in that room. I have seen this done, and I've done this many times, because your thoughts are creating the world. Your thoughts are creating the world that you live in. How many times have I told you, I say to people, oh, thank God I don't live in your universe, because they live in a universe that's mean and hateful, and I don't want to live in that universe. And those universes do exist out there. You see it all the time. Look at all the people that complain constantly. They just complain constantly. I don't know, I read this years ago about Elizabeth Taylor. With all the tragedies and all the events that have gone on in her life, she has never once complained. She has never once complained. You've never heard her complain about anything. She just doesn't complain. And you see, we don't have to complain. These are events that happen. And then we look at that event, and if we don't like that event, we change that event. And we do that with our thinking, by realizing that it's only an illusion, what you're seeing. It's merely an illusion out there. So when you learn that, you start to witness your own thinking. You become a witness to your thinking. And as soon as you're aware that you are witnessing your thinking, your life changes. Your life changes. So you can stop any habit that you have by becoming aware of it and not being talked in to the idea that it belongs to you, that you are addicted. Now, there are addictive personalities. I will not say that there aren't addictive personalities. But once you become aware that you are not your addiction leaves you. There's a book out, and I forget who wrote it, called Beyond the 12-Step Program. And we have to get beyond the 12-Step Programs. Although they save many lives and they do many things, and I'm not putting the 12-Step Program down whatsoever, because it's completely God-oriented. But it has put itself into a box. You can only go so high. You always are addicted. You know, you always have to stand up and say, I'm an overeater, I'm a this, I'm a that. Nothing in your life is here to stay, people. Nothing in your life is here to stay. Said something wrong? Oh, no, he's not leaving. Nothing is here to stay. Everything that comes into your life to go out of your life. That's what this meaning in the Bible when it says it came to pass. It came into existence to pass out of existence. So if you're having any situation that you don't want, let it go. It's not permanent. Somebody told us years ago that anything we did was immediately written in stone and we had to live with it the rest of our lives. Now that is absolutely ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Where would be the freedom in that? Where would be the growth in that? The opportunities that we are afforded here on this plane of action come in front of us so that we can learn something. They do not come in front of us to punish us in any way. We are here to grow. What are we here to grow into? Well, we're here to grow into the idea that we are the light of the world. And we're here to grow into the idea that we truly are one with this thing that we call God. That we are developing God qualities. That's what we are here for. We are here to prove God. We are here to prove God. So it's absolutely wonderful. So in your daily life, think of that little light inside of you and ask yourself, how can I turn it up? How can I turn my light up? How can I allow my light to shine? And you can do that with your intelligence, with your talents, with your creativity. You can do that in so many ways. But we were taught also, what? Don't rock the boat. And who do you think you are? If you go that far, then you're Jesus, you know, or whatever. And this is not true. Become as much as you can be. Become as much as you can be. And do your very best with everything that you do. And come from this whole idea that you are the light of the world. And that you are here to give your light out. To let your light shine. If everyone in this room would start shining their light, you would pick up more and more people. And before we know it, the world would change. The world would change. The world doesn't change because people think that they're stuck here, that this is the way the world is, that they're not worthy, deserving, and lovable, that they're the worms of the earth, and that this thing called God's playing a big cosmic joke on everybody. And this is not true at all. It is not true. So let your light shine. I read a little thing years and years ago, which was this. Many people go to their grave with their music still in them. Don't do that to yourself. Let your light shine. Let your music be heard. Come out and play in this world. Play the way you like to play. So that people see you as the authentic self that you are. And just have fun and don't be afraid. You're now around like-minded people. You're around like-minded people. You can do what you want to do. You no longer have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Come out. Okay? So that's the good news for tonight. So moving right along, we have added, as of last week, the race mind alert. And the race mind alert, this, I'm playing with it. I'm not allowed to do that. The race mind alert this week. I was driving along and I saw a great big sign, the billboard, for CSI. And the caption is, Sin Never Sleeps. Sin Never Sleeps. You cannot buy into that, people. That's out and out propaganda. And I know if you watch all the CSI programs that are on, all you think of is, oh, geez, horrible stuff's going on in every city in the country. It's horrible. But to put a billboard up announcing that sin never sleeps is out and out race mind. And we buy into that just by driving along, oh yeah, and it drops into our mind. And we have to be able to distinguish that. We have to be able to see what is going on in our world so that we are not controlled by race mind. Race mind is very subtle. and the world is very convincing. You may not be convinced by the world. You have to look at those things and you have to think for yourself. You can't say, I'm the light of the world, and then say, yes, but sin never sleeps. Ain't going to work, is it? You see, you can't do that to yourself. So if you make a statement that I'm the light of the world, then you have to start seeking those things out also and say, well, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. And don't buy into that. And when you stop buying into all that stuff, you'll see again that your life will change completely. It will absolutely change completely. You'll become peaceful. You'll become content. And you won't run around saying, oh, it's awful, and this is awful, and that's awful, blah, 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 blah. You don't. You won't. You can't. That's all there is to that. Okay? So that was the race mind alert for today. Now, we'll start, as we always do, with spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what the universe, or this thing we call God, already knows about us. We are affirming or reaffirming our own good. I know perfectly well that I am one. I am one with this thing that we call God. That God and I are one and the same. That the Creator and the creation are one and the same. And I know that the Creator is abundant and is prosperous. Therefore, I am abundant and prosperous. And I see that abundance and I see that prosperity everywhere. And I know that that also includes money. So I open myself right here and right now. I give myself permission to have money freely circulating in my life. I am able to receive. And I know that. And I am delighted with that. And I open myself more and more and more. And I ask for more and more and more. And I never feel greedy. I feel absolutely wonderful. And I let that be so, and so it is. Last Wednesday, I took a friend of mine, Bunny, out to lunch. Bunny, I think, is 80-something or other. She has Parkinson's disease. So anyway, we had a wonderful lunch, and when I took her home, I said, now, Bunny, if you need anything, call me. And I'll make arrangements to come over, get you, or take you where you want to go. And she said, oh, I don't know if I could do that, Dallas. I said, why? She said, because I'm not used to receiving. I would much rather give. Now, she's 80-some years old. Don't you think it's time? And I told her so. I said, Bunny, you're 80-some years old. Don't you think it's time you learn to receive? I said, people want to give you something. I said, start. I said, I always think it's more blessed to receive than to give. She's a Presbyterian. She just about fainted when I said that. We have been taught all our lives that it's more blessed to give than to receive. I am here to tell you that you cannot give without receiving. And you cannot receive without giving. It's one and the same thing, people. This whole universe is a circle. It just keeps going around and around and around. It doesn't matter where you start. If you start by receiving, you're going to have to give. If you're giving, you're going to have to receive. It does not matter. But you have to open yourself to be able to receive. Now, at 80-some years old and not able to receive, what does that immediately? The red flags go up. It means Bunny doesn't think that she's worthy, she doesn't think she's deserving, and she certainly doesn't think that she's lovable. But she's just a wonderful human being. And, of course, a Presbyterian. And that's, I guess, what Presbyterians do. They just skip a lot. Don't do that to yourself. And I'm not saying don't give. Please hear that. I never tell people not to give, because the more you give, the more you'll get. The more you give, the more you'll get. And you can prove that every day of your life. give something, and it'll come right back to you, and it always comes back to you multiplied. It comes back to you in a completely different way. But it will come back to you. So learn to receive. You have to make your mind accept that. You are the one that's training your own mind. And if your mind is telling you all that garbage from the past that you learned from your parents or from some institution who wants you, of course, institutions want you to give. They want you to give to them. But change your mind about that. Change your mind and open yourself. And then see every channel in the universe open so that you'll get prosperity, abundance, and money coming to you. This thing of money, everyone's a little timid about it, or everyone's a little frightened. How many people in here think that they know the concept of money? What is the concept of money, Bill?
It's a medium of exchange. It's only a representation of actual value. It's not the object. It's the way of keeping score.
Yeah. And it has absolutely no value except the value you put on it. Has no value. Money has no value except the value you put on it. And when you realize that you're the one that's making the value, look at housing in this town, how it's gone up and up and up. A house that was once $40,000, now they want $500,000 for. The house didn't change. You see, we just put a different value on that thing. But we're the ones that are doing that. You see. Value your money, but know that you're the one that's putting the value on it. You're the one that's always putting the value on it. To a millionaire, the value of $1,000 is nothing. To somebody that's not making that much, $1,000 seems like a lot of money, doesn't it? But it has no value whatsoever. So learn to think of that. If you want to manifest money into your life, remember that this thing we call God doesn't know big and small. It doesn't know zeros. It can just as easily give you a dollar as it can give you $1,000,000. The reason why you don't receive $1,000,000 is because you haven't stretched your consciousness large enough to receive it. You see, you can only receive anything to the size of the vessel. You see, if your vessel's only that big, you can't receive any more than that, you know. Make your vessel bigger. Make your consciousness bigger. So that you can. So that it can be filled. Okay? Tonight's topic is compassion. And I picked this title, compassion, because I heard some student say something. And this often happens in metaphysics. First of all, we say in metaphysics, this is a law. There is an immutable law of cause and effect. Immutable meaning that it's always the same, it never changes, nor does it show favorites. It always works exactly the same. And anything that you drop into the law of cause and effect will manifest itself. But I heard somebody say that something happened to them. And they immediately said, oh, well, then you must have da-da-da-da-da-da and done this, that, the other thing. That's not showing compassion. You don't say, oh, well, I know why you're sick. You're thinking wrong. You say, you don't do that to people. This whole teaching is about love. And it's always love and law. It's always love and law. And love is always working through the law of cause and effect. But as students of metaphysics, we can get caught up in the idea that it's an equation. That if this happens, then that happens. And that's true. But you cannot put that on people. You cannot say that to people. That's showing no compassion. None of the great teachers that ever came did not show compassion. You have to have compassion, not only for the person, but for yourself in any situation. You have to have compassion. Last Thursday, I was coming down with a cold. Did I immediately say, well, now, Dallas, you did this wrong and that wrong and this is going on? No. I said, huh, I'm coming down with a cold. I know exactly how to cure myself. I left all shame and guilt, and I was compassionate with myself. I said, I'll love myself. I'll take care of myself. I'll do the right things. And this cold is on its way out right here and right now. You have to be compassionate with people. You have to be compassionate. Now, while we're talking about compassion and the law of cause and effect, last week we came up with a young lady that was in the class, and she said her car was broken into. And I said, do you believe in theft? And she said, yes. I said, well, that could be one of the reasons. You see, what you believe in, you draw to you. But she said, no, she didn't think it was that. She thought, da, 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 da. After class, she said to me, oh, well, you know, I was partying that night, and I got a little carried away, and I fell down and hurt my nose and stuff like that. I said, do you think maybe you decided to punish yourself and have your stereo taken from the car? Now, we don't know if any of that is right or not. You see, so many times in this plane that we call the plane of cause and effect, sometimes we're very fast and we just grab any cause that comes along to explain something. But what I am trying to tell you is, if you understand that, or if you don't understand that, it is part of this teaching. And without accepting that as part of this teaching, if you don't understand it, put it on the shelf. One day you can take it down and understand it. But if you don't understand it, then you leave yourself open for chance and accident. And there is no such thing as chance or accident. This teaching does not teach that. This teaching will never teach that. It will never teach that. But you have to have compassion while you're looking at those things. And if you can understand that, the reason why I bring that up, I think many people gloss that over, and they don't want people to, they want people to know it, but they don't want people to get all upset. Oh, you mean I caused this? Oh, you mean this happened and that happened? Which is true and not true at the same time. But the point is, if you don't believe that, then you're going to believe in chance and accident. And if you believe in chance and accident, then you're living in a universe that is capricious. And this universe is not capricious. It's an orderly universe.
So I'm not understanding the story about the girl.
Yes. Okay, you were, so because you were in Europe.
Yes, I was. Okay, so she said that your car broke it into. Are you saying that you need to figure it out, or is it, well, why can't you just say, well, my car got broken into, and so you...
Exactly.
Instead of punishing yourself and trying to figure it out?
You don't have to figure it out.
Okay, all right.
But what I'm saying is, you have to know that there was some cause. That it wasn't chance or accident. You see, you cannot have chance or accident. Otherwise, the whole idea of the law of cause and effect is blown out of the water. And the world wants to teach you that there are accidents. How do you think insurance companies make all their money? By convincing you that you're going to have an accident, that you're going to fall down, that you're going to run into something, that this is going to happen and that's going to happen, because the world works on the law of averages. And it thinks that there are such things as accidents. Anybody who has any type of accident, we can take it back and figure out, if you want, what caused that. The two cars hitting each other at a stoplight is not an accident. One person probably wasn't paying attention. Their mind was someplace else, all that. But it wasn't an accident. You caused the damn thing. But we don't want to admit that. And insurance companies always will say, well, it wasn't your fault, it was an accident. How many times do you hear people say that to each other? Well, it wasn't your fault, it was an accident. That's out-and-out race mind, people. Don't buy into that. Don't buy into that. But you don't have to get frightened at the same time and think, oh, everything I do. Oh, my. No, you don't do that to yourself either. But you know that that law of cause and effect is always operating. That's why we can make things happen, the things that we want to happen. Otherwise, if you believe in chance and accident, what are you going to have? You're going to have accidents. You're going to have all that stuff in your life. Who wants that? I call those the nits and fleas of life. They're not necessary. They're not necessary. It was an accident when I fell down and broke my leg. No, I don't think so.
So the randomness that's out there is the result of the randomness of our thoughts.
Yes.
And what we're learning here is to order our thinking. Okay?
Yes. You're in charge of your thinking. You have to know that. You must learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and feel the feelings that you want to feel. That's what this is all about.
And isn't that why you suggest to us every morning those affirmations and then to go before me and make the way straight so that then we're really at cause for our day being
yes.
good and accident
yes.
free?
Yes.
You have us suggesting all those things that we, but I love you is the.
Right.
I do and all things to yes. God who strengthen me.
Because you're creating, when you get out of bed in the morning, you have to say, oh, here's a whole new day to create. And here's what I'm going to create today, and I'm going to be an artist with it. I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. And you're going to make your day. And when you plan your day in the morning, it will unfold the way you want it to unfold. There won't be all that, oh, what a hectic day, what a horrible day, oh, no, 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 no. There's no such thing as a horrible day, people. Here again, days are just days. They have no power of their own. You're the one that's making it horrible. The day can't do that to you. Same way rain. People, oh, it's raining. Isn't it a miserable day? No, I happen to like the rain. You know, you have to like what's going on. You have to like what's going on in your life. Tom, would you like to share what you told me earlier about what you do in the morning?
Well,
time to share.
Yeah, now when I get up in the morning, and I try to do it before I get involved, I always say that my mind is one with God and that I don't want to hear from the ego. It can take a vacation, it deserves to go somewhere, we'll do it. And then I say that I'll try not to judge anything, anyone, I'm not gonna do that. And then I go, then what I think I know I'm going to do, I ask God, I said, oh, then I send the Holy Spirit and my love before me to go outside, to go to my car. There's no tickets, no accidents, no car problems. And when I go on the road, it's just like an open freeway for me, and I can just whip wherever I'm going, even if it's busy traffic. And if perchance I'm supposed to slow down, I'll be slowed down, and so I won't get upset at the person who's maybe I might otherwise say is acting like an idiot, and that I get parking where I go, and that if I'm going to the coffee shop, I get a good place to sit, a good whatever, and go to the gym, or go wherever, and then I try to remind if I get caught up in race mind or my ego mind, then I try to stop and start over again, and it seems I spend a lot of time just whipping around without having to deal with traffic, and all these other people are like, and for some reason, 900 people will be in one lane, and I go in the other one and just get by. So it works. Because I believe it's going to work.
Yes.
Because it has worked for me, so I know it's going to work because it already did.
So if you can do that, you can do anything. And it's all in training your thinking and training your mind and allowing your spirit to go before you and make the way clear. And each and every one of us can do that. But you have to sit down and do that. You have to say, oh, I'm in control of the day. I'm in control of myself. The day doesn't control me. You see, there's no power in a day. The only power there is the power within you. That's where all power is. And all power is always in the moment. There's no power before or after. It's only ever in the moment when you have the power. And that's why we recommend that you stay in the now all the time and not let yourself go this way and that way. But you do all this, anything that you're ever doing in life, you must do with compassion. You can't be, oh, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, blah, 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 blah. No. There's another little thing. Most of you have been with me for a couple years now. And there's a whole idea that we say we're in metaphysics and we're in this metaphysical teaching. But is it in you? Do you see the difference? The teaching must be within you. You are in it. You come to these classes and you can say, oh, I'm studying metaphysics. But you must make the metaphysics come from here. It must come from inside of you. And the more you do that, the more you'll realize. And then you'll see all that crazy stuff out there in the world and just let it go and say, well, that doesn't make... There's not a word of truth in any of that stuff. There's no truth in most of the stuff that we hear. All truth is within you. All truth is within you. So, if you're having any situation in your life, the first thing you want to sit down and have compassion for yourself. And then you want to love that situation. And then that situation will go out of your experience. Anytime you resist anything, it stays with you. It stays with you. As soon as you are willing to give it up, it disappears. So people say, I had a young man who came, and he said, but you don't understand. I'm out of money. I said, that's an impossibility. You can't be out of money. So he went on to tell me his car broke down, and this broke down, and he couldn't afford the bill, and this and the other thing. And I said, yes, what happened then? I'm sure you could afford that bill. He said, well, I was so upset, and this and blah, blah, blah. But when I got home, I had a residual check that not only paid for the car, I had some left over. This is what you must know. You must know that you always have the money to pay for everything. It doesn't mean that it has to be in your pocket that very instant. But you can never say to yourself, I'm out of money. Never say that. You say, money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. And then you open yourself once again to receive from all the different channels in the world. And you let that money come to you. But you don't say, I'm out of money. Never do that to yourself. If you run around saying you're out of money, what are you going to be? Out of money. It has to do that. That's this whole idea of the law of cause and effect. And then we don't punish ourselves for that. We become aware of that. We notice that. And we change our thinking. And then we start to see ourselves in a different light. That's all this study is about. That's all that life itself is about. Is learning to see yourself differently. Learning to see yourself as the divined person that you are. You have to know that you're divine. You cannot say that God is divine and then say, but I'm not. You can't. Because the Creator and the creation are one in the same thing. And that is where all your power is. when you can bring yourself to that, that you know that you are one with this universe and with this thing called God, then you can have what you want. But when you're separated from it and you think, oh, it's there and I'm here, it's not going to come to you. What you want is already here, right here and right now. You just can't see it because you're looking through the wrong filters. As soon as you're able to remove the filters, you will see what you want in life. But we have been taught by the world that we can't have things. You can't hope for all that. You can't, no. That's too much. You can't. Nothing is too much for this thing that we call God.
Can I share a little bit?
Yes.
And it's totally thanks to you, Mrs. I got a call saying, my uncle just passed, and then I got a call saying from somebody saying, you're going to get an inheritance, a little something. So I went out, within the week, went out and got a MacBook, which I've always wanted, and usually, I won't even buy programs for my 98 and this kind of thing. And by the time, a week later, somebody called to say that I got work in between and stuff, but by the time somebody called to say I'm not getting the inheritance, it was already paid for. So it was a treat that I'd never done, and it made me feel great, and I would never spend that normally, and it completely paid for itself. I don't know how. I really don't know how I could plan for it. But I just thank you for that. I know I had no worries when they said it wasn't. I know we never worried about it.
No, don't worry.
Very different.
Remember, Jesus said, worry will not add a cubit to you. A cubit is a measurement, like an inch or something. It's a measurement. I'll tell you a cute story about the Mac Bible. I'm not too savvy with computers and so forth. And this was years ago. I was in somebody's house, and it said the Mac Bible. And I said, I never heard of the Mac Bible. I've heard of the Jerusalem Bible. She said, yeah, it's for a computer. I said, oh. Because I thought, oh, this is a Bible I may need. I do not own a Mac Bible. But anytime I hear the word Bible, I think of the Bibles that are out there. And there are many Bibles out there. There are some Bibles out there, that have the translations, four translations on the page going down from all the different things. But we're not here to talk about the Bible, because that can get us into a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. There is a metaphysical Bible out, if you're ever interested in that. And if you're reading the Bible, always read it from a metaphysical perspective. The Bible has been written on many levels, and each level will tell you something different. That's why we have the misinterpretations all the time of the Bible, because people will take some of that stuff absolutely literally, and it's not. You cannot do that. But if you read it metaphysically, you will see that it's a wonderful manual for your life, is what it is. It's a wonderful manual for your life. And when you read it, if you start with, this is my life, you will see how it unfolds. Just unfold that. Okay. So compassion and love is what we have to have in our life all the time. Love will absolutely work every time, because it has a power in it to dissolve anything unlike itself. It just dissolves things that are not like itself. And compassion, you need it because it's a counterpart of love. You can't say love. Jesus brought love, a covenant, into the New Testament. That was his whole teaching, was the covenant of love. But you can't have love without compassion. And so many people think they can do that, that they can be mean and hateful not only to themselves but to other people, and that they can tell other people how their lives should run. Years ago, when I was in the real estate business and also in the metaphysics, a young man said to me, Dallas, we love everything you say, but could you please teach and not preach. And I said, thank you for that. Because I was young and eager, and I knew the law, I knew the immutable law of cause and effect, and I wasn't about ready to let anyone get away with anything, and I wasn't about ready to show compassion. You know, this is the way this will work. But that's not the way you treat people. And that's not the way you treat yourself. So if anyone here is doing that, please stop. And use compassion when somebody says they're sick or their car got broken into or this happened. Don't say, well, you brought that on your own self. Yes, sir, that's your thinking. You know. Now, does that sound compassionate at all? And who wants to belong to a teaching that does that? No one. No one wants to belong to that. We're each wonderful, individualized expressions of God, and we mistreat each other as that. We mistreat each other as individualized expressions of God. We all look alike. We all do things differently. But that's not to say that one's right and one's wrong. We're individualized. And we have to remember that. That we're individualized. Does anyone remember why you can get anything that you want and you can manifest a parking spot? Do you know what you have to remember to do that?
It's imagination.
Pardon?
Imagination.
Well, you use your imagination, but the thing that for anything that you want in the universe or you want to manifest, you have to know that there's always a place for you in the universe. As soon as you know there's a place for you in the universe, you get the parking space, you get the room, you get this, you get everything because there's a place for you. But people say, oh, there's no place for me. There's no parking spaces. They start that out when they start leaving home. They immediately start, I was in a car with three people, and my God, I was ready to get out. Oh, well, we'll never find a house there. You know how busy it is there. And oh, my. Just drive the car and shut up.
That's interesting. When we were in Italy, we had a professional driver, and we, you know, there's so many cars there. And the driver said, well, I'll leave you here, and I'll go find the space. I thought, we'll go with you. And she said, it may take a while. I said, no, it won't. And she's like, they're just waiting for us. And we found space, and we walked the. It was like, she's looking at me like, okay, well, what else do you have? And it was very easy because I knew that there would be a space for us.
Yes.
And she was, you know, of the mind that, you know, there was space.
So you hear that? Excuse me. There's always a place for you in the universe. And when you know that, then you get the parking space, you get the room, you book the job, you get everything because that's the way it works. And the money is there because there's always a place for you in the universe. The universe absolutely loves you. It wants you to have everything. And it certainly wants you to be able to prove this. This thing called God, which we have no idea, you know, what this thing called God is. That's why we call it a thing. We try not to put any parameters on it because as soon as we put a parameter on God, we have just taken what's infinite and made it finite. So we like to think of God as beyond thoughts and words, but we have to know that there is an intelligence, there is a life, there is an energy going on that we're all connected with. That we're all connected with, and that we can use that power, that energy, and that intelligence to bring into our lives what we want. Because we are not here to suffer in any way. We are not here to go through this crap that most people think they're here to do. You know, don't make your life a soap opera, people. Don't do that to yourself. If you like watching them, watch them and know there's not a word of truth in that. You know. I mean, it's ridiculous. So know, absolutely know, that you do have this wonderful light inside of you, and if you can turn this light on and off, not off, down. You can dim it. So learn to turn it up and use your imagination to do that. If you do meditation, see that little flame. And in meditation, you can make that flame get bigger and bigger and bigger till it completely consumes you. Till it completely consumes you. Maybe we'll do one of those meditations this coming month. Okay? Because last year, remember, I told you we were going to kick this teaching up, and this year we're going to keep kicking it up. Because there is no sense to keep coming here and getting a good high on and feeling good about yourselves and then going out and not being able to use this and do something with it. That's not what this teaching is. This teaching is not a philosophy. And it's not a religion. It's a completely different way of life. It's a completely different way of life. And we just weren't taught this, and generations before us weren't taught it. There were pockets, there were isolation, there were people that did it, but not in a mass amount of people. You see, metaphysics is not taught in schools, it's not taught in colleges. You see, it's just not taught. But it's absolutely true, and once you get it, once you are able to do one thing with it, you realize, oh my, that's an aha experience, and if I can do that, I created that, I can create everything that's in my life. I can create everything that's in my life. And this is the way you want to see it. And this is the way you want to see yourself. But always look at yourself as an individualized expression of God. An individualized expression of the only life there is. You see, the life of God animates us. We don't do this ourselves. Don't fall for that. God is always working in, as, and through you as an individualized expression. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.